Hi, it's Elise
And Kaylin.
And this is episode 14.
15.
15 of Love Her, Leave Her Wild. Ooh, ooh. It's exciting.
Is that going to be your thing now?
I mean, usually Hannah would be like, woohoo. And so
I'm not doing that, man.
Well, clearly I didn't make you do it. I did it. Jeez.
Yeah, I feel like you make Hannah do it.
She probably feels like I make her do it now. So
yeah,
whatever. Fine. Then I'll just do it. Whoever's co-hosting, I guess I'm doing it. That's fine. So our episode today is about toxic people, toxicity. It's fun. It's a fun time.
It reminds me of that song that like, look at that toxic person. The one that was going around for Halloween, Pamela Pumpkin.
No, I don't know what you're talking about at all.
Oh my gosh. There are so many people playing that song in their head right now.
Okay. I was legitimately thinking the Britney Spears song, Toxic. Don't you know that you're toxic? Do, 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 do. No. Do you know that song?
Yes. I was a huge Britney fan.
I've gotten a few submissions about wanting to talk about toxic people, cutting out toxic people. Family members, all of it.
I was reading earlier too about toxic, like leaving toxic relationships, and I came across an article about, is it time to leave or is it time to renegotiate your toxic relationship? Have you heard that?
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
Well, it just depends. I guess every situation is different. You know, would you renegotiate more with a husband or a family member than a friend? Probably.
So, or what you have tied to that person. Like, do you have a child? But then also, is that person toxic because they are mentally and emotionally abusive? Or is it a toxic relationship because they just don't allow you to be the real you? Because anything can be kind of toxic in a way. Like if you perceive it that way, you know, it can be toxic because it stunts your growth as a person or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So I feel like with those healthy kind of relationships where something has just kind of gone sour and it's not the person, just a certain aspect of the relationship, I feel like that's renegotiation. But if it's actually truly the person and they're manipulative and nasty and really doing you mental and emotional harm, even sometimes physical harm, like I feel like there ain't no renegotiating that.
Right. It just depends on the situation and the person and you know, what exactly that toxic person is doing. So Google defines, or WebMD defines, toxic person is anyone whose behavior adds negativity and upset to your life. Many times people who are toxic are dealing with their own stresses and trauma. And I would agree with that. WebMD, yeah. you did a good job.
Good job, WebMD.
Yeah.
Non-sponsored.
But we will be sponsored by you if you would like. But I do think... that's pretty black and white, but it is what it is. You know, it's hard. It's hard when you love someone toxic, whether it's your friend, your significant other, your family member. It's hard.
It is. It's really interesting though that you say that it's black and white, because
well, that a lot of people was black and white.
It is. It is. And a lot of people can, like Marcus tells me, you've probably thought this. I'm a very black and white person. I see things, it's either black or white. There's not a lot of gray area with me. I feel like gray area is considered tolerance, and I don't really have a lot of that. So to hear it from a black and white definition, I feel like it just makes it's perfect for me.
Yeah, whereas I'm a lot more, now don't get me wrong, there's some things that I'm pretty black and white on. Some issues, but there was one issue recently that changed with me that I was very black and white on, now much more gray on. And I'm not even going to get into that right now. That will be a future episode. But because I understand that people have their own trauma and that people, you know, sometimes I feel like a lot of times toxic people don't know that they're toxic.
Agreed.
You know, and that's part of the issue. That's always part of, you know, I have a friend who's toxic to me. And my friend believes that whatever they're telling me is correct. So let's talk about gaslighting a little bit, which is kind of a buzzword these days.
But really, it means questioning your own reality.
Making someone question your own reality, yes.
If anyone has experienced that, it is something you will never forget. And when you hear it explained like that, like they make you question your reality, it is so true.
Yeah.
And very odd. Like it yes. is a very odd place to be in when you have someone that is close to you who is making you question your own reality.
Right.
What? No renegotiating on that.
No. I mean, and it's something is, you know, like I said, gaslighting is kind of a newer term, for lack of a better word. But for me, it was explained to me like this. Okay, there's a red book. And I say to this person, whether it's my friend or boyfriend, whatever, let's call this person my friend. Here I have this red book. And this person says, no, this is black. This is black. Why do you always do this? Why do you always do this? This is just like you. Just like these are your issues that make this book that you think is red, but it's not. It's not. But this is something you always do. And then I go away and I think, well, my friend does have a point. This person does have a point. Maybe I have the definition of red wrong. You know, maybe it is my issue. And that is gaslighting.
Like me getting locked out of my car and being told that the car just locked the door when I watch them physically take their fat paw and lock me out of the car.
Yeah. And then you sit there and you think, well, they're so convincing. They're so convincing.
They always are. And they become more convincing as time goes on. Like, and then it's almost like we all have a threshold that we don't realize that we have. And then it is like the weirdest thing. Like when it clicks, you're just like, you're a liar. Like that's how it feels. Like you've legitimately lied to me, but it has to be a mental illness. They are a sociopath. Like this is not a normal characteristic to have at all.
To people that make you question your own reality.
Yeah.
I don't think it's sociopathic. I think those people have narcissistic tendencies. I don't want to call them narcissists because again, that's another buzzword I see thrown around all of the time. And it pisses me off because, you know, not everybody is a psychologist or psychiatrist and you can't just throw around diagnoses. You just can't. That's just not, I never throw around a diagnosis to anybody. And I worked in the field of social work, but I still wouldn't do that. They need to be evaluated and diagnosed specifically. But I will say if someone has narcissistic tendencies. Mm-hmm. So I think when people do that, sometimes they have narcissistic tendencies and sometimes that's how they learned how to communicate.
So at what point do we see the gray area for me? Is like I said, it's tolerance. I feel like the gray area for a lot of people is grace.
Yes.
But I have really hard boundaries because I had to just because of my past relationships that were like this. Like if boundaries were not in place, I wouldn't have been able to live my life. Like I wouldn't have been able to just function.
I do agree with that. I tend to give grace too often. Cause I was thinking to myself, well, I can only speak to myself. So that's what I'll say. Like, you know, someone who's listening, you are the one that doesn't, and I'm the one that does. So someone listening is going to identify with you or me because we're opposites on this. Not that I'm better or you're doing it. You're doing it correctly. I am not. That's something I have to work on because guess what? Guess what, y'all? I have no boundaries. I'm working on boundaries right now.
Maybe I'm just mean.
No, I think you have, I think you have boundaries. I think you have pretty good boundaries. I think that's the number one thing you have to have.
You're concerned I don't let people love me though.
I am. I feel like you keep people at a distance.
Until they prove, and when I say like that they prove this, I have been deceived by people assuming that they were just a normal, decent person, and they won't. And it ruined that period of my life, and it wasted years that I can't get back. And I just don't really, I learned that, like I said, like that's when I went to the black and white thing. It's like, there isn't a lot of in between for me. I can't tolerate a lot of that gray area. And if that, and it's not like my boundaries are so strict that I can't have friends or whatever. It's just that if you show that you're a shitty person, I just believe you. Like, I believe that you're a shitty person. And so I expect nothing really great from you.
Yes.
Because you're a shitty person.
Which is so. A good boundary to have, which is good. I mean, people show you who they are.
They do. They do.
And we're the ones that are saying, no, no, no. You know, we ignore that. We ignore it. We ignore the shitty behavior. We ignore people telling us who they are.
And I think too, like coming out of a marriage, you know what you want afterwards. Like, you know what you have, like, you know what you have in your head and what in your heart that you want the rest of your life to be like with someone else. And I do think that it's easy to get caught up in like wanting something so bad that I can make that my reality. Like, I can overlook certain toxic characteristics of a person because I want them to fit into my life where I need them to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I can make them a better person than they are because I'll just overlook these negative things and just be like, oh, well, it's probably trauma, or it's probably because they were taught that way.
Yeah. But that's me. That's me all day, because I always see myself in other people, you know? And I always think like, I've gone through a lot of trauma and I'm a good person.
Yeah. But not everybody like you. You're a special kind of person, because that's not, but like, okay, so you took responsibility for your life. Like, you were like, I'm not going to be a victim of my circumstances, and I'm going to be the kind of person that I wish people around me were my entire life. Like, if everyone would have been a better person, I wouldn't have this trauma.
Yes. Yes. 100%. And that's also what I do is, because I have gone through the trauma I've gone through, I'm that person that I wanted someone to be there for me. Like, that's the person I am to everybody else, which is why I allow certain things and people into my life that I shouldn't. And like I said, whoever's listening, this is me admitting that I have issues with this. This is not the right way to be. Please don't be like me.
Or finding balance in it. Like, I don't think that it's necessarily, like, I don't think that I'm doing it the right way either. I think that I could have a little more grace. Like,
you could probably have a little more grace.
Yeah, like, I could. I mean, and it's like, but you know what it's going to take for me to have more grace? This is going to sound really bad. It's going to take me dismissing someone who truly 100% did not have ill intent, and it was a mistake, or it was just a bad day, or, you know, a bad week, a bad month, like something like that. And I'm going to completely judge their character based off of that one bad day, because
yeah,
I have bad days where I like a complete asshole. But if it falls on.
Yeah. You get bad days where you're like sassy as fuck. I'm just like,
I don't feel like I'm really sad. Like, there's times people say I'm sassy and I don't feel like I'm sassy. This is just who I am.
Well,
I think
you are sassy, but I think some days you have a little more sass.
Maybe.
It is what it is. Like, it's okay. I have more sass in me some days.
My daughter's sassy. That's why.
Yeah. So is mine. It is.
She
you
works
know.
My nerve.
Yeah, exactly. But.
And those days I have a very low tolerance, that gray area.
Yes.
Is even more narrow for me. So what about on that day when someone who I'm just neutral with does something and I judge their character based off of their bad day? Like, that's what it'll take for me to be like, okay, you really need to be, give people more grace. Like, mm-hmm. because I'm going to misjudge someone and I probably have, I don't know, but, and that would really suck, I think.
Yeah. But that's, I guess the hard part is finding the balance.
Yes.
You know,
like,
you don't know how much grace to give. If you're giving too much or not enough, whereas like you and I, again, you probably don't give enough and I give too much.
Which one hurts more?
When you give too much.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I have let toxic people into my life a few times. And it's really when I'm at weak moments, because I do feel like, you know, we project a certain feeling out there. We project a certain energy out there without sounding like I'm into crystals, which if you're into crystals, cool. I'm not. But I do believe about projecting, energy out there. And when you're in a certain phase of your life or season of your life, sometimes you project like a lower vibration, right? Because the people around us are mirrors. I truly believe that. And you attract like attracts like, right? So when we're going through a tough season, we might start attracting people that aren't healthy for us because we aren't feeling healthy for ourselves. You get what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. It's just funny because I met my husband now when I was in a really bad place. And so was he. Uh-huh. But we did have to, there was a point, a period there where we did both have to step away and be like, okay, so we'll revisit this when we're not both crappy people. And
right.
That's what we did, because you have to put those boundaries there, because there's a point where you realize like I'm hurting you and you're hurting me, and this, I'm not in a place to deal with. Basically, I wasn't in a place to deal with his shit, but we'll just say that it was both of us. But I mean, to a certain degree it was, but you have to, that's a boundary. Like, you're hurting me, it's time for me to walk away. Or I'm hurting you, it's time for me to walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And to be honest, and if you have someone that has narcissistic tendencies, I mean, and you ain't going to win that.
No,
you don't win with those people. And,
well, not to them. You'll never win. It'll always be your fault, but yes. You can win for yourself, because it's okay to outgrow these people. You have to outgrow these people. You have to allow yourself to outgrow these people in order to allow yourself to grow, because they're the worst.
Yeah. And it's that, you know, it's always focusing. And I always say this too, even generally speaking about breaking up with someone, it's like you focus on only the good stuff, you know, yeah. And it's that reel you keep playing in your head of all of these amazing times, but that's you just pushing out the massive amount of shitty times.
Was it you that I was talking to you and saying that in order to get through the phase of letting go of a toxic person, you have to stay mad at them. You have to remember all the bad things or it pulls you back in.
No, right? I don't think we had that conversation.
Okay. Well, I was having a conversation about this and that was what I was telling them is I feel, oh yeah, it was one of my friends, another friend. So, and it was that was like, you're going to have to remember all of these negative things that you're telling me and all of these character traits that she is letting you see and remember them, because now you know who she is. And this is her wife. And she was just like, you know, this really sucks. And I'm like, yeah, but the minute she starts acting normal again, you're going to let her back in, because now you think everything is normal, but it's only normal to her for that moment. And you can't let that moment dictate your future anymore. Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you can't just like base a whole person on the few times that they were kind or they were sweet. You just, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Or else you're constantly going to be disappointed. You're constantly waiting for that person to come back. But guess what? They were never that person in the first place.
See, if you have, if you expect little from people, then you have less of a chance of feeling disappointment.
No, I go in with having reasonable expectations of people. I do.
And what's reasonable?
Well, that they're decent human beings.
That's too much credit.
Okay, well.
See?
That's the difference between you and I. I go in thinking everybody's a decent human being. And I don't know if that's the right or wrong thing to do. I don't know. I hear it could be a trauma response.
I don't know either. I'm sitting here thinking, like, because I feel like for some people that feeling of assuming that they're a decent person is a neutral feeling. It's not like it takes effort for them to feel that way. For me, it would take effort. Because I genuinely do feel neutral about people. I don't know either. They may be good. They may be bad. It could go either way. Like, that's how I feel. I don't assume that they're good and I don't assume that they're bad. But for me to assume that they were a decent person or a good person, that's work. But equally as much work as it would be for me to assume that they were a bad person.
But when I met you, I assumed you were a good person.
I mean, no offense, but like, I assumed that I didn't know you and it could still go either way. I mean, but I don't like not like someone until they make me like them. I'm just very neutral. Like, and that's what I say when I tell you, like, that gray area for me, I'm not going to learn my lesson. What about if you would have said something and it would have been a bad day for you and I would have just been like, she's not my type. And that would have been the end of that. And then I would have felt really bad because that's not who you are. That was just a bad day for you or a bad moment for you. Or maybe you said the wrong thing. I don't know. I mean, yeah, like, if that's how I'm going to learn my lesson, and that really sucks.
So. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
But thanks
that's
for true. Assuming that I was a decent person. Most people don't assume that.
Oh, dear. So I don't know what the right answer is with that. Do you go in assuming everybody is decent, or do you go in assuming everybody is kind of like, you got to prove to me that you're decent? I don't know. I heard this analogy used. As you go in to school, you go into a class, and you go in with an A. Okay. You start the year off with an A, and it's up to you to keep it. You don't go in with an F and try to earn your way up to an A.
Yeah.
You feel me?
I'll give you an 80. What? That's good. That's a C.
An 80 is a B.
It was a C where I was.
Wait, me personally, you're giving me an 80?
Like, people in general. Like,
oh, okay.
I'll start with a C.
I was like, I feel like I'm at least a 90, but okay, Dick.
Oh, now that I know you, you're good. You're good. You pass. You're good.
Woo!
Yeah.
I'm not very good at tests, but I passed that one.
But it's not like you have to go above and beyond for me to feel this. Okay, back up. You don't have to do like really extravagant things for me to then determine that you're a good person.
I flew out there. I put some fucking roses and candles, and I was just like, please be my friend. I'm giving you the final rose.
That's kind of how I became. That is kind of how our friendship worked, but like pretty much the opposite. I just push myself on you. I do that to people. For me to be so like, I don't know, I'm neutral, I sure do. I push my love onto people real hard.
Yeah,
I don't want to lose you.
I think when you decide that the person is better is when you're just like, okay,
it's
now
forever.
Yes, you must love me now. Please love me. You're gonna love me. Like, yeah. Screw it. Yeah. Oh, no. yeah. So you wait a little while, but I just go in, I'm like, oh, she seems decent. And then, you know, I just, from then on, I decide like where and if you're going to fit into my life and how.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That is a very good, very good explanation. I'm like, yeah. My pit bull. She just like pushes, she like bombards you in like the the most loving way, and you can't be upset about it. It's just,
well, I'm not going to lie. I have done the same. I have a friend, Linda, and she worked with me years ago. She's still my friend. She's coming to Nashville. I forced my friendship on her, forced it. To this day, we still talk about it. Linda was like very guarded when I met her, and she didn't really talk to anybody there. And I was just like, you know what? You're going to be my friend. And I did. I forced that onto her, and she will tell you the same damn thing. And we're still friends. It's been, I don't know, 13 years.
Yeah.
We're still friends.
I'm Elise. You're going to like me. Then you're going to love me.
Yeah.
You're never going to leave me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think in all this time, we've only argued once. And that was bananas. Yeah. But I mean, that's just, I'm pretty likable though.
You are.
I'm not. Like, I'm very extreme. So you're either really going to like me or you're really going to hate me. Nobody is like, about me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do agree with that. And I'm more of an acquired taste. Like, it's not the how you can make that decision. Like, it takes a while.
But it's that's okay. I mean, yeah, so in the like, it's difficult and how you approach a situation. Now, family is different. There can be toxic family members. Yeah. And people always, that's a question that comes up with me a lot, or to me, is how to deal with toxic family members.
Renegotiate.
Now you have one.
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't you talk a little bit about yours?
Well, I renegotiate. So it's my sister, if you ask me how many siblings I have, most of the time I'll say two, but you'll really only hear me talk about my brother, who is the youngest of us three. My sister is the middle. And, I love her. She's a very talented person. She's funny. She's a good time to be around, but ultimately she's the center of her own world and she's a very selfish person. We renegotiated our relationship. So I'm 31. She's 26. We renegotiated our relationship probably 3,000 times over the last 10 years. And every time it lands us back to the same point. And it wasn't until she had her daughter that I decided that we were just going to be done. And now the rule is, and my family, and it was really hard at first because she is my sister and she lives closer to my parents. It was hard because I felt like I felt guilty because I was making my family choose between me or her. Mm-hmm. And that was really hard for me because I didn't want my mom and dad to miss out on things with my sister. And then it came to a point where I was like, you know what? Y'all know that she's not a good person. You guys know what she's put all of us through, what she's put me through, and especially what she's put my parents through, which is where a lot of my issues lie anyway. It is very fair at this point for me to say, if you want to see me at Christmas, then she can't be there. But like I said, that took me 10 years and it took a lot for me to put that boundary into place. And to this day, like, I'll see my niece, but I will not see my sister and I will not talk to her. And it's not like we're in a nasty, it's not that we are really hateful to each other.
Drama filled.
Not anymore, but only because we have that boundary, because it was drama. Like, every time she would come around, when I would see her, it was just like, it was probably as close to hate as you could get without feeling hatred. Mm-hmm. Because I have a lot of resentment towards my sister, and until she changes the person that she is, I can't be around her, because it's not good for me and it's not good for my family. Like, it's not good for my family to see me act like that and see my sister act like that and to make everybody uncomfortable. And it's not good for my daughter to see that. So it's just better this way. And everyone recognizes her. Like, they know that she has these qualities about her and that this is who she is. And until she changes, it's very fair for me to feel this way. Now, there was a point where they didn't feel like it was really fair, and they did. They were angry with me and felt like I was being dramatic. You start showing your ass a little bit, and then they're going to be like, okay, well, listen, but don't really do that. But I mean, you have to protect your own mental health. And if someone, regardless, if it's your mom, if it's your dad, if it's your sister or brother, like, you can't let them take from you, because that's what they're going to do. And they don't care. Like, truly toxic people do not care. They don't care about you. And at the end of the day, they are only there to serve themselves. So it makes it a little easier, I feel like, to cut them off. But
I think that there's there's different variations of toxic, you know, like, yeah. At one point I was a toxic friend. I was going through a real rough time when I was like 29 and 30. Like, there was that short period of my life, and I was a toxic friend.
Why were you toxic? Because you needed help, because you needed support, because you felt like you were negative, or what?
I was toxic because I was so self-centered in my own misery. I don't know. Like, I didn't see outside of myself.
Absorbed in your own struggles, I don't know if that's toxic. I feel like if you had a real friend, honestly, they would sit you down and be like, yo, I know it sucks right now, but there is a world out here still. Like, you can act the way you want to, but the clock keeps going, and you're missing out on things. And there are people you're missing out on because you are wallowing in your own whatever misery that you have.
Yeah. And my friends who are still my friend, but one, did go through it with me, and, you know, it's great. It was a rough, short period of my life that I got through and over. And, you know,
did you learn from it? Did you grow?
Yeah, of course. Well, then I went to therapy. That was the first time I went to therapy in my life.
See, but that's why I'm saying I don't know that it was toxic, because I don't feel like you go from being toxic straight into growth.
No, I went from being toxic to therapy to growth.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
You know, I did, though. I didn't like who I was right then. Mm-hmm. I didn't like my decisions. So I went to therapy and I said,
fix it.
Yeah, I was just like, I need to know why. It centered around two things: a really bad relationship and turning 30.
Yeah.
And situations with my health at the same time. Like, there was a cancer scare. It was just a bunch of stuff all into like one ball. And so the relationship was really, really bad. And I went in and I said, listen, I need to know why I got into this relationship and why I stayed, and how to never do it again.
It takes a lot to get to that point, though. Willing to basically hand yourself over and be like, okay, I'm ready to change. Because yes, you had to outgrow that person. You had to outgrow the person that was in the relationship with you, and you have to outgrow you, like, who you were as a person. And that's also really hard too, because I feel like that's when your friend circle changes. And if you're like me, then your friends are a lot like your family. And yes, that gets hard.
My friends are my family.
Yeah, like, it does. Your friends are almost more, you know,
they're the family you choose.
Yeah, and that's a big deal, because especially if you make the cut for me to choose you, according to Elise, like,
all it takes is a flight and roses
and love
and a poem
and endurance, mm-hmm, to deal with me. Then stamina. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Are we talking about Marcus or me here?
All of you.
I also don't think toxic people are forever toxic. And I think sometimes a person can be toxic to you specifically, but not toxic to another person.
Yes, I agree. Or toxic to you in a different way. And like, they project their toxicity in other ways to other people. Mm-hmm. And I think that that follows in with the narcissistic characteristics,
right?
Because right. they play on your weakness and your insecurities. Yes. And that's when.
Yes. And they want to be there for you and talk to you about those weaknesses and insecurities and, you know, be that person that, you know, pep talks you and is your hype man. But then when you stick up for yourself, they pounce on those insecurities and weaknesses. And that's when they tell you that the red book is black and that you yeah. always do this. You always do this.
They use everything as ammunition. Everything that you give yes. them is ammunition.
So that's a toxic person. That's just toxic until they get their shit together in therapy. Then there's toxic people like myself who was toxic, but I was just stuck in the situational, you know, period.
And then, you know, I told you the other day that I used to be a toxic person, like not a good person mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. And it was because I needed an excuse, not an excuse. I needed a scapegoat. Basically, I needed to almost justify my decisions with someone with their reaction. That's how I got out of an abusive relationship, is because I reacted in a way to the exchange, and the way that I reacted, I knew would trigger them to react to my reaction in a very intense and exaggerated way. And that was my reason, that his response to me was my reason for leaving, because then I could blame it all on him and ignore yeah. everything else.
Yeah.
And I needed that. And I think that people do that also, not in that kind of extreme situation, but even on a, like, on a normal daily life scale, and they don't even realize it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's people that can't take accountability.
Yeah.
You know, in the situation, like, or people that always play the victim.
Projection,
such a big, huge deal.
It is like my biggest pet peeve. I cannot, and I can see it a mile away. If when people project their shitty characteristics onto other people, it drives me crazy.
But you have to understand too that sometimes when people project, they don't know that they're projecting. I know this is your gray area. That's your gray area that you're just like, no, but people don't. Sometimes people,
when you tell them,
people aren't walking around with a ton of insight into themselves. Like, that's not normal. It's not. I'm sorry. I don't know. I'm thankful to have the friends that I have that do have a lot of insight. Okay. But right. a lot of them are in the helping fields, the social right. work field, the psychology field. Like, they have insight, but most people don't have that insight. So whereas you're you right. can look at something and say, that's projecting, they're just like, projecting. No, this is what I see. It's like, no, motherfucker.
You are so right. God, it drives me nuts. And then exactly, because when I say, like, you're projecting, like, this was a conversation that I've had before. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you're projecting, like, that is complete projection. And they're like, I don't understand. I don't understand what you yeah. mean by that. And they're like, you're provocative. Look, that is too, like, I know they start with P, but it is not the same thing. Not even close. I'm not provoking you. You're ridiculous. Like, someone, that's how far off
equated provocative yes. and projection,
because their point was that I provoked them to say what they said. And I'm just like, I didn't provoke anything. It's just how you feel about yourself, and you're making it my problem because
yeah.
you don't know how to handle your own shit. Like,
yeah.
and that's not normal. Mm-hmm. If you can't take accountability for your own actions and who you are as a person, you are the problem.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, people have projected on me quite a bit, and I can see it, and I can see when I've projected. But like I said, that's most of the population of humans aren't very good with the insight. That is why people need therapy, because it helps them understand. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think too, I'm guilty of projection, and I'm sitting here thinking about it. So I'm just going to say it. I was in the relationship that is now my marriage, and even into my marriage up until this was up until I got pregnant with Everly, who's 19 months old. So I remember one of our biggest arguments would be that I was always treating him as if he were like someone from my past, or as if he wasn't on my team, or if he was going to hurt me. Like, that was always what he said. And he was like, you need to figure your shit out, because this isn't normal. Like, that would always be what he would say. It's like, I was putting that onto him, my insecurity and feeling vulnerable. I was pushing that onto him and making him out to be a bad person. I think it's what happens. Like, I do. Maybe not, because you're in therapy. I should have gone to therapy.
Yeah. But that's what I wanted to do, is I wanted to go to therapy so I can change, because I need to change.
Yeah.
I'm 40. I need to change.
Because your vulnerabilities and I guess the people who we talk about being toxic, if we think about their toxic traits being from vulnerable moments, I guess I can have more grace. But they need to tell me.
Lord, I mean, my friends knew that I was going through a hard time.
Yeah, you know. It's like, it's exactly, like, I feel like if you know that you're not in a place, if you're not in a good place, then I feel like it there is grace. It's okay.
Well, but I had one friend that friend broke up with me.
That's not nice. That's not a friend either. Like, come on.
You know, but I also, we're just talking about, okay, so we can't do that though. We can't have an episode where we're talking about cut out toxic people, and then you can't say, no, that's not nice. Don't cut her. She shouldn't have cut you out. She had to, for her sake.
Well, yeah. Renegotiate.
She could have renegotiated, but you know what? I didn't understand at the time. It took me a very long, long, long time to understand that I was toxic at that point. Okay. Not in like a malicious way or a narcissistic way. Like I said, you know, I was dealing with, you know, a really bad relationship and feeling the pressures of turning 30 and a cancer scare all at one time. So I get that, you know, but it wasn't until much later. I was just like, it was probably hard to be friends with at that point.
I feel like any of us who have lived a couple of decades, have been hard.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but I respect that. She had to do what she had to do for her. If she had waited it out, you know, and if you know, she had waited it out and I went to therapy and, you know, la, la, la. Yeah, she still would have had her good friend. She would have had a better friend. But she didn't. And, you know, she had to do what she had to do. And honestly, she, you know, was going through some shit herself that I didn't even realize. And I think she was kind of toxic as well. So we were just like, wasn't good. Yeah. Well, and again, I think it was both situational too. Like, I don't think she is a narcissistic person or has narcissistic tendencies.
Because not all toxic people have narcissistic tendencies.
Exactly.
Let's just clarify that.
Exactly. There's people that are toxic in general, and then there are people that are going through, it's situational. Like, you're just going through a hard fucking time and you're not the bestest of friend or most amazing wife or whatever, because you're going through shit and, you know, it is what it is. But then there are the people that gaslight and manipulate, that have the narcissistic tendencies. And those are people that, unless they stop themselves and get themselves help, they're not going to change.
Yeah.
Cause they don't see it.
And they don't. And those boundaries are so, so, so important for our own sanity. Like, we can control what we think. Like, we can control what we take away from that relationship. And if we are allowing their thoughts their words to become our thoughts, and they aren't allowing us to grow as a person, then I think it's fair that we should probably cut ties with them. Oh, I was saying that, like, we can control what we allow to become our thoughts. Like, we cannot control what people say. We can't control how they act to us, how they treat us. We cannot control that. Like, that right. is them. That's on them. But what we can control is we can control what we allow to believe and what we allow to take away from us and what we allow to consume us. And if it is becoming a negative influence in our own life, then it is important to put very hard boundaries in place to protect ourselves.
Yes.
And sometimes, unfortunately, that means that person has to go.
Yeah.
Because exactly. they don't serve you. And not that everyone is supposed to serve you, like everyone's supposed to be your servants, but people should offer something to a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. It's very, very true. And, you know, it's also up to you and your choice how you let that person affect you, that toxic person affect you. Like, you know, I have let toxic people affect me to where I, again, am questioning my reality and being sad and anxious.
Yeah. Like, and that's just not, it's not okay. And I remember I have to see I'm a very big picture type of person, but I'm also like, when I say big picture, I don't mean like big picture as in what tomorrow holds. Like, I'm thinking years down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was, do I want this person to be in my life 10 years from now? Like, what is it going to be like 10 years from now? Where do I see myself? Do I see myself with this person? And when the answer is no, then it's like, why even drag this on anymore? Because, and then I want you to think about something that you remember from 10 years ago. Probably not much. So does it really matter? No. 10 years from now, if you just go ahead and cut it off right now, 10 years from now, you're going to be living your best life. Not even thinking about that person anymore. Goodbye.
Right. Right. Yeah. Exactly. But it shouldn't allow someone to, and that's with boundaries. You don't allow someone to like have that much weight in your life to affect you that much. And that's something I am learning, because again, I've had no boundaries because I am a people pleaser, and I'm a people pleaser because that was my life, was making sure my environment was somewhat safe for me.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just who I am. I am a people pleaser and no boundaries. So now I'm laying those boundaries down for the first time. And guess what? Guess what? It feels fucking amazing.
I'm so glad I'm here for this.
I thought it would be hard. I'm just like, you know, because I'm one of those people that's, you know, my sister gets so pissed at me when I'm like, she's like, you can't date anybody with like, you know, issues or whatever. I'm like, I have issues. That's not fair. And she's like, just because you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I always think, and I will always say, I'm sure I've told you this before, well, this person has trauma and mm-hmm. I understand their trauma, whatever. But having boundaries in place is so fucking powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell you the difference it has made in me. And it's only been like a week.
And then you draw in a different crowd, because like you said, the people that are drawn to you are kind of a reflection of you.
Yes.
And when you stop reflecting this self-loathing person mm-hmm. who is stagnant or who is toxic yourself, or who, you know, is selfish or whatever the things may be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you stop doing that, like, those are the people that stop clinging to you. And it is painful, because it's this is what I'm like, when I say outgrowing them, it's because you as a person are growing. So now when you grow, they don't, and then they just kind of fall off. Like, if you're on the right path, I feel like the people around you who are negative, they kind of pick themselves off because they're not interested in your mentality anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because my therapist says, you're like a walking wound.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a walking wound, and the wrong people are attracted to that. Like, mm-hmm. they just sucked right in. I don't know. I think I hope you guys have learned something on this episode. So don't forget to submit any questions or topics that you want covered. Anything on our website is loveherleaveher.com. It's all one word. In the about section, there's a submission form. We're sponsored by Rose and Grace. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram. My upcoming book, Love Her, Leave Her Wild. And Dear Mom, the organization that supports mothers with kids with Down syndrome. So thanks for being here, guys. It means a lot. Please, please leave a review on our Apple podcasts. Write a nice little review of me again. Plus, I love them. And rate it for us. So that'd be great. And we will check you next time. Bye.
Bye.